Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. I love that song. That was a blessing. Let's all turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start reading there in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. If you would also, if you have a marker for your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 4. That'll save us some time here in a few minutes. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to use it twice. So if we go back to Hebrews after the first time of Genesis, we'll be right back there in that area of Genesis shortly after that. Hebrews chapter 11. I was trying to, just praying about what to preach tonight. And there's a subject that I just haven't been able to get away from for quite some time. It's just a subject of faith. And as I was just looking and praying, asking what God would have me preach, I just came to this passage. I know it's what God has for us tonight. And we're going to start reading here in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Tonight I just have a question for you. It's, how is your faith? How's your faith? Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and God, thank you for the day you've given us, Lord. I thank you for your word, and God, I thank you for the privilege it is, Lord, to be in your house tonight and worship you. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us, God, as we're in church. God, I pray that everyone in this room tonight, for these next few moments, would just, Lord, be willing to set all things aside, and Lord, the things that they're going through this week, the things that are upcoming, Lord, whatever it might be, the trial that's in their life, I pray that you help every one of us to set those weights aside tonight, Lord, and receive, Lord, your word into our hearts and minds, Lord, so we can better ourselves for you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me as I preach, Lord. I want to, Lord, be up here just as your vessel tonight. And I pray that you fill me with your spirit and your power, God, to preach this passage, Lord, the way you'd have it to be preached tonight. Lord, bless us, I ask, in your name. Amen. When Hudson Taylor was sailing for his first missionary journey to China, his ship that he was on was in great danger. The wind had died off there in that part of the journey, and his ship had started to creep and follow some currents that were carrying them to some sunken reefs, which are close to the islands that were inhabited by some cannibals. And as they were drifting towards those islands, they were getting so close that they could at times see cannibals making fires there on the shore. And as the ship kept going, as they had tried everything they could and nothing was working, the captain went out to the people and he said, "I have done everything that can be done." Hudson Taylor looked at him and said, "Hey, there's one thing we can do that we haven't done yet." And a thought occurred to his mind, and the captain said, "No, I don't think there is anything. What could that be?" And he said, "Four of us on this ship are Christians. And at this time, I think we should go back to our rooms. We should pray for a few moments. And at the same time, ask God to give us wind." So they went to their rooms, and Hudson Taylor just went to his room for a few moments to petition to God for his help, and he came back out and looked at the men that were on the crew there and said, "Hey, we need to put the sails up." The crewman looked at him like he was crazy, and he said, "You need to put the sails up. The wind's about to blow." And as they put the sails up, just a few minutes later, a wind carried them far away from those islands, and they were saved from the attack of those cannibals. Hudson Taylor was writing all this in his journal, and as whoever had read this and collected this information has this quote from him. He said, "God encouraged me after landing on China's shores to bring every variety of need to him in prayer and to expect that he would honor the name of the Lord Jesus and give the help each emergency required." He said, "God encouraged me to pray about him about any kind of trial, any kind of obstacle that comes to my life." And then he said, "Not just to pray about it and ask God, but," he said, "after I pray, I'm going to expect God to do something. I'm going to expect God to provide. I'm going to expect God to keep me safe." If any of us tonight were put in that situation, what would our response be to that? If we were on that ship and we were being taken somewhere on that ship, and the captain came and he said, hey, we've done everything that can happen. We've done everything that we could do to maybe stop this. What would our response be? It's sad to say, but there's a good chance that some of us in here, maybe many of us in here tonight, would at that moment maybe forget to ask God for help. And by that response and by that thought in your own heart and mind, we can kind of ask ourselves this question tonight, how is our faith? How is our faith? Charles Spurgeon said, if our faith be worth anything, it will stand the test. A false gem dreads to be touched by the diamond, but the true jewel fears no test. It is poor faith which can only trust God when friends are true, the body is full of health, and the business is profitable. But that is true faith which holds by the Lord's faithfulness when friends are gone, when the body is sick, when spirits are depressed, and the light of our Father's countenance is hidden. In this month of our church, this year of prayer and fasting, I find it very appropriate tonight for us to talk for just a few minutes on the topic of faith and to search our own hearts and lives and see where our faith is at tonight. One of my favorite old preachers named Leonard Ravenhill. I love anything I can find of him that he had written or even find clips of him preaching. And just the quotes that he has and the things that he says are just always speak to my heart. And especially when we get to the topic of prayer, he always has some powerful words to say. I want to read something to you very quickly. He said, we Christians are in captivity on many levels today, personal, domestic, church, and missionary enterprise. But fetters break and dungeons fall when prayer is made by the church unto God. He said, prayer without ceasing, prayer that might shatter our status quo, prayer that drains us of every other interest, prayer that excites us by its immense possibilities, prayer that sees God as the one that rules on high, almighty to save, prayer that laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done, prayer that sees all things beneath his feet, and prayer that is motivated with desire for God's glory. We all need that faith-filled prayer life. We all need that. The Bible says if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. And if we are not, if we can look around a church this size and not see incredible things happening in people's lives around us, that is a good way to tell that there's probably not great faith in many of our lives. Sad to say. We need a faith-filled prayer life. We need a faith-filled life. We see, first of all, in this passage, a definition of faith. It says there in verse 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Three boys gave their definition of faith. One of them said, faith is taking hold of God. Another one said, faith is holding on to God. Another one said, faith is not letting go. They all said the same thing in different words. What they said was true. We need to hold on to God and His promises. We find the meaning here, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. If we were to look at that word substance, the interpretation of it would mean to stand under. It would be talking about a foundation. So faith is the substance or the foundation that we need to have our life based upon for God. It's the evidence of things not seen or the conviction. There's a phrase that we say many times in our life. Hey, I'll believe it when I see it, right? I'll believe it when I see it. If you were to tell me 5 years ago, when I had a three-week-old baby boy, that in 5 years I would have five kids, I would say, I believe it when I see it. Many times, with many things in life, we might not believe until we see it. Many times we hear about something, yeah, it sounds too good to be true, yeah, I don't know if that could really happen, but when we see it, yeah, then we believe it. But can I tell you tonight that faith makes those things hoped for that we have not seen as real as if we've already seen them. It makes those things that we hope for as real as we've already seen them. It provides evidence. Faith provides evidence that those things are true. Faith provides evidence that those things are real. Faith is a confidence. It is a conviction about the things hoped for, such as heaven, such as the rapture, such as the coming of Christ, such as true joy that we can find in our Christian life, wholly submitted to God. Faith is conviction about things we have not seen, such as the existence of God. How the world began, we see in this passage, it talks about it there in verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The God who created this world, this universe, expects us to believe in his creative work by faith. He expects us to believe in creation by faith. It is by faith that things were created, not a work that comes from things that already appeared. God spoke, and those things came. And we need to believe it by faith. Brother Rusty's been going through a study on creation with the teenagers in Sunday school. And we are looking at evolution and looking at what they are teaching. And the problem, and people that believe in evolution because they don't have the faith to believe in creation have a huge problem, because it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in creation. They have a problem. They think everything comes from this one cell. And then you get to the bottom of that and you can ask them, where did that cell come from? And they have no clue. It's faith. It's a false hope and something that is not real. Faith is described for us here in verse 1 and 3. And then we also see there in verse 2, in the middle of those verses, fulfillment that comes through faith. It says, therefore, by it the elders obtained a good report. I'm not quite sure which elders he's talking about. It could be talking about the men of old. It could be talking about the men of that time, thinking about Paul and Silas and Peter and John and all these miraculous things we saw that they did with the power of God. I believe, looking at this passage, he's just talking about the people that he's about to introduce here in chapter 11 of Hebrews. When it says these elders obtained a good report, it is saying that these people and those around them witnessed the outcome of their faith. The people around them, there was a good report there. The things that they believed in, the things that they put their faith in God, they came to pass. They had a good report. They had joy in knowing that God approved of their faith. And because of their faith, he blessed them. Each and every one of us tonight, I'm sure, know about faith. We know what it means. We can describe what it looks like. But many of us have never experienced the results of it. We find some examples of faith here. We're just going to cover a couple tonight. The first one we find in verse 4, and it is worship, faith-filled worship. There in verse 4 it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh. Let's look there at Genesis chapter 4, if you marked that for me tonight. Genesis chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 3. It says, by faith he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Let's look at the story there, Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. It says, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. We see here that Cain gave offering of the fruit of the ground. Abel's offering was of the firstborn of his flock. And we find there in that story that the Lord respected Abel's offering, but did not Cain's. Here, if we look back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, you don't have to, but it says, through faith he obtained witness that he was righteous. God said Abel was a righteous man because of that sacrifice, because of his faith. The end of verse 4, he says, he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's faith was so great that even after his death, it is spoken of many times in the Word of God. And the writer here in the book of Hebrews is saying, even though he's dead, even though he's been long gone, his faith is still being spoken of. Even though he is dead, he is still speaking because of his example of faith. Oh, for that to be said about us. So why did God respect Abel's offering and not Cain's? Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice and not the sacrifice of Cain? We find here in the story that Cain offered some, showing an obligation. He offered some, showing an obligation, but Abel offered the first, showing his heart. Cain took care of Cain, and Abel gave his best, and he trusted God for the rest. If we were to look in Webster's 1828 dictionary, we would find this definition of worship. It says, worship means to adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect. to respect, to honor, to treat with civil reverence, to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Can I ask you tonight, are we worshiping God properly? Do we have that faith-filled worship in our life? First thing that would come to mind, are we giving God our best? Are we giving Him off of the leftovers, or are we giving Him off the top? Our tithes and offerings. Do we pay those from the first fruits of what God blesses us with, or are we giving Him what's left over after bills, after recreation, after the eating out, after getting the new things? That'll show where your faith's at. What about your time? How much time are we willing to give to God? How much time are we willing to lay on that altar for God to give to Him? If we aren't, maybe we aren't obligated to work during a church service, but maybe we're choosing to work during that church service because we need that extra money. Maybe that shows a lack of faith in our life. Maybe tonight we're claiming we want our family, we want our children to have everything they can have. And we say, you know what, I know that we have these extra things that go on at church, but I really want my children to experience all that they can in this life and in this period of their life. So let's choose these things over the things the church is putting on and thinking they're going to miss out if they do that. I can tell you the greatest memories I have as a teenager, as a child, is things that happened with church people. Some activities and camps and all those things. Everything done here at the church is done with the intent to help grow, to help lead these children, these teenagers, these adults to know God better and to make a difference. Why would we not want to place ourselves here? I'm not trying to stir anybody up tonight. I'm not trying to do anything like that. There's many people that have an obligation. But how many tonight could make it occasionally on a Saturday morning for soul winning? How many of us could make it out? Maybe not every week. Abel gave his best to God. God blessed him with the rest. What are we giving to God? What about tonight? What about on Sunday morning? What about on Sunday night? What about the times that you are sitting in the pews? Are you giving God your best? Who's number one in our life tonight? Is it God? Is it us? A life of faith is one that puts God first, whether it is comfortable or not, fun or not, makes sense or not. A life of faith will hold God above all. We see worship here in this passage, but we also find a walk, a faith-filled walk. So look back at Genesis chapter 5. We see here in verse 5 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. If you look at the Genesis account there, Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch, just like Elijah, did not experience death. That we find here in the book of Hebrews, we find in the account in Genesis that Enoch pleased God, and he walked with God by faith. And his example of faith illustrates the value of walking with God throughout our whole life. Christians, can I tell you tonight, God is always there. If you are saved tonight, He is living inside of you. He is there. He is as close as He's ever been. But the problem many times with us is that we forget He's there. He's there beside us. We can walk with Him anytime we want. But how many times do we set Him aside or turn away, forget that He's there? Could be that, or it could be that we're just not able to fellowship with Him or walk with Him because of a problem of our heart. And can I encourage you and urge you tonight that you cannot truly walk with God unless you are right with God. If there's something between you and God, you need to repent. You need to turn from that. Get right with God, and He is there as He's always been, ready to walk with you. Faith is the belief which makes unseen things real. Enoch hadn't seen God, but God was as real to Enoch as if he saw him every day. He was as real to Enoch as if Enoch heard his voice every day, as Enoch felt the touch of his hand. He was real to him as he walked by faith. Who are we walking with tonight? Are we walking with God every day, or are we walking another direction? Where we place our faith affects our walk. You think about Enoch. Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. And we look at the time of Noah and we see that mankind had gotten so bad that God was going to destroy mankind. In the world that Enoch walked with God, he was in constant communication with Him, even though the people around him were not. I have no doubt that there were people in Enoch's time that loved God, that believed in God, that had faith in God. But I also believe there were many, probably the majority of people at this time, because of the effects of sin, that were living their immoral life against God. If you look there at verse 21, Genesis chapter 5, it's mentioned that he walked with God for 300 years. But it says that he walked with God for 300 years after he had Methuselah. Whether Enoch was walking with God before Methuselah or not, his walk with God was emphasized after the birth of his child, Methuselah. In the world that he was living in the day and age that he was in at that time, he realized how important it was as a father to have a relationship with God and to have faith in Him. And if we look at the story, if we look at the descendants of Enoch, we see that whatever Enoch was doing was working. Methuselah, his son, lived longer than any other man. The grandson of Methuselah was someone by the name of Noah, who was one of the only righteous men, probably the only righteous man at that time. For over 100 years, he obeyed God for something that he had never seen before. Look at that faith. Whatever Enoch did was going pretty good, was right. Can I tell you tonight, your faith, your walk, not only affects your life, but it affects the life of your family. Affects the life of your children. Affects the life of those around you, those that are close to you. See a faith-filled worship, we see faith-filled walk. I really want to go to verse 7 because there's a good stuff right there. Let's look at it, verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We see there that we see worship, we see a walk, but we also see through the life of Noah work. Work. Noah, not knowing, have ever seen rain before, obeyed the commandments of God. Amen. Noah, no matter what it was that God had told him, knew that God was the sovereign, almighty God and had faith enough in him to do what he said, to build this boat. Basically, this big box in the middle of a field. We have the commands of God in our hands tonight. We know how we are to act. We know how we are to hold ourselves. We know what good character looks like. We know the truths of God's word, how He's told us to live, what He's told us to do. How is our work tonight? How is our service to God? How is our obedience to Him? Faith-filled work. Let's move on very quickly. Look at verse 6 tonight. The necessity of faith. The Bible says there, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We've seen how Abel, Enoch, and Noah obtained a good testimony by their faith. And Enoch in particular, he has spoken about that he pleased God. Whether we are worshiping, whether we are walking, whether we are working tonight, faith needs to be the motivating factor behind every single act. And without faith, this verse here says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If you want to please God tonight, that means we need to be living a life of faith. So let's look at this faith that pleases God. This faith that pleases God includes conviction that believes that God is. Do you believe that He is tonight? Do you believe that He is? Though we don't see Him, do we have a conviction of those things that have not been seen? Do we have a belief? Do we hold it true? Do we live every day of faith in God? In this life of faith, we see in the end of verse 6, it says, includes a confidence that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. George Mueller's a name many of you have probably heard. George Mueller said this about faith. He said, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Faith begins where man's power ends. That's a pretty good quote. And if you know anything about the life of George Mueller, you know he wasn't just a man that said good quotes. He was a man that lived what he said. One of my favorite stories about George Mueller, I thought about it when the children's home was here the other night. In the late 1800s, he operated an orphanage, and at one time that orphanage had 1,000 children in it. There were many times that they struggled to pay bills. They didn't know where money was coming from. Many times they didn't have food, but they always trusted God to provide. And there have been several accounts, people speaking about this incredible thing that happened. There was one morning where there was no food to eat. George Mueller, even though there was no food, even though there was nothing to drink, called all the children to the table, called all the staff in, and they prayed and thanked God for the food they were about to eat. They said just moments after he prayed, there was a knock on the door. There was a bread man there that for some reason the night before felt impressed to bake bread for the orphanage. And as they received that bread, they looked down and saw crates of milk beside the door. The milkman had some trouble with his milk truck. It was broken down, and he wanted, instead of it going to waste, to give it to the orphanage. They had no idea of what was about to happen, but they trusted God, had faith that He was going to provide. After that, George Mueller gave thanks for God. But what I find great about the story is that he gave thanks to God for something that he had not yet received. That's faith. That same faith that we hear about in the life of George Mueller was faith that we see in the lives of Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And one might ask, how do we develop that faith today? Can I tell you tonight, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. We have God's promises in our hands tonight. We can look at the Word of God and its power and see how God wants to do incredible, great, and mighty things in our life. We find in the book of Jeremiah, we have to call upon Him. We have to trust Him. The Word of God presents evidence to believe in God and Jesus. And through the Word of God, we can develop the kind of faith that pleases God. We've already talked about it. Faith pleases God. Unbelief displeases God. You can't believe and not believe at the same time. So you're either living the life of faith or you're living a life of unbelief. Which one is it tonight? There is danger in having that heart of unbelief. We're not going to get there for time's sake. But in chapter 3, verse 12, we find that verse there. And there in the end of chapter 3, we find that the life of unbelief that the Israelites lived kept bringing them to turmoil after turmoil and judgment after judgment. It destroyed them in the wilderness, their unbelief. How's our faith tonight? Just a few months ago when we were still living in Georgia, there was usually every service we were there pretty late, and on Wednesday nights we usually left there around 10. And at that time we would get into our van, we would turn around in the big parking lot and head to the exit. And we had a dark parking lot, there weren't any lights in the parking lot, it was black. And every Wednesday night was the same. We'd jump in the van, we'd turn, I'd head towards the exit. We would drive a couple miles down the street and get dollar burgers for us and the kids and have dinner late. And I remember this night, and I remember getting in the van and turning around and heading towards the exit. And it being a big parking lot, I look back and yell at the kids a little bit, tell them to behave, whatever. And I looked back, and just right in front of me was a car parked in the parking lot. It was a black car, and I still can't tell you to this day why, but I hit that car. And as I saw the car, I tried to swerve and miss it, and the edge of my van clipped the back end of that bumper and ripped it completely off, and I get out and look at the damage, and I see this bumper laying there in the middle of the parking lot, and thinking, what have I done? And the people whose car it was were just walking to their car at the time as I am looking at what I had just done. And I try to explain them how it happened, and there's really no explanation because I'm still can't even understand it today why I did that. But I told him, I said, it's just going to be a couple $100 for this bumper. It was an old car. And I said, if you can find out how much it is, I'll just give you the money. We don't need to go to insurance for this. And he said, yeah, that sounds great. So he came to me a week later and said, hey, I didn't realize this bumper doesn't cost around $200. This bumper actually is going to cost around $1,200. And I said, how in the world, why is it $1,200? He said, it's some kind of sport edition. The bumper is wrapped around the muffler. It's going to be very expensive. And I had, at that point, had already told him I was going to pay for it. And so I said, okay. And I remember the stress that came on my heart and mind at that moment. And I went to the Lord, and there were many instances there for those next few weeks that I was praying to God, saying, God, I know I can get this money together. We have Christmas coming up. We have some expenses. We're trying to make a trip. We got things going on. And Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get this money. And I came to a point where I knew I was doing what God had me to do. I know we brought this into my life for a reason. And I said, you know what? I trust you to provide this money. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm not going to worry about it anymore. It's in your hands. A week later, I hadn't heard from him. And I walk up to him after a Sunday morning service, and I said, hey, I just want to let you know I don't know if you've heard anything or found out where you can get it fixed at, how much it's going to cost. And he said, oh, I got to tell you something. He said, the other day I was driving down the street and I hit a slick spot in the road, and I went off the road and hit a tree and totaled it. And I said, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was like, is everybody okay after that? And then I went to a room, and I thanked God. Just simple faith. Didn't know how he was going to do it, but I trusted him to do it. Then I'm convicted about how many days I don't live a life of faith. All the things that God has wanted to do in my life that I've let slip by. Faith is a victory. Faith is rewarded by God. Can I ask you tonight, do you believe that he is? In your prayer life, in your walking with God, in your service, in your obedience, are you trusting him every day? Look at verse 2 with me real quick. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. What would your grade be tonight on your faith? What report would come back from those around you, from your own life, of the strength of your faith tonight? I'm going to read you one quote and we'll be done. I've already spoken to you about Leonard Ravenhill. There's one other thing I had that he had written, and I wanted to read it to you tonight in closing. He said, shall our prayer harps hang tuneless on the willows of unbelief? If God is a God of matchless power and incredible might, if the Bible is unchangeable word of the living God, if the virtue of Christ is as fresh today as it when he first made the offering of himself to God, if he is the only one and only mediator today, if the Holy Spirit can quicken us as he did our spiritual fathers, then all things are possible today. Then he spoke of Acts chapter 27 of Paul. He said, the seas were boiling, the winds were howling, the sails were tearing, the spars were flying, the stars were hiding. The people were cringing and crying, sobbing and sighing. One man alone was praising. All were expecting death except Paul. Amidst a scene of hopelessness, if ever there was one, Paul cried, sirs, I believe God. Can I tell you tonight, I believe God. Do you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wednesday night, we don't have a musical invitation, but the altar's always open. How's your faith tonight? Who's number one in your life? Are you worshiping by faith? Are you giving by faith? Are you walking with God by faith every day of your life? Even though there's obstacles, even though there's things that come up, hindrances, even though the world's going in opposite direction, are you walking by faith for God? Is there a good report tonight? Do you believe God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Lord, we love you, and God, I thank you for the day you've given us. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for all you've blessed us with. And God, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this very simple, very clear passage. Lord, on what true faith is. Lord, the definition, the description, the Lord, so many examples we find there in Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, I wish we could have covered them all tonight. But Lord, I pray that you'd help every one of us, God, tonight to examine our own hearts. Lord, you want to do great and mighty things in our lives and in this church. God, I pray that you'd help every one of us, God, to be willing, God, to set all things aside and look to you alone. To give you all the glory and honor and praise, all the attention, all the time, all the worship we can. But help us to walk with you each and every day, even though it may be hard, even though we may be tired, even though the road may be rough. God, I pray that we would trust in you. I pray that each and every one of us, God, would live that life that pleases you by faith. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us would have a good report of the life we're living for you. Lord, bless us tonight as we leave here. We ask all these things in your name.